Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
And I'm Nish Gupta.
And today, guys, we went onto playoffpredictors.com. We're going to have it linked in the description for you guys if you want to kind of go along with us. And we predicted every single game of the NFL season, and we came out, it spit it out, and we got our complete record predictions for each team. We've got our full standings, playoff brackets. And so we're going to go through these in a series, division by division. And today we're starting with the NFC West. So we're going to tell you all about our record predictions and predictions for the year for the NFC West. And we'll start talking about the Arizona Cardinals. What do you guys have to talk about?
Yeah, so to kind of highlight the Arizona Cardinals, right? I mean, what's not to love about their free agency and their offseason? I mean, obviously they got DeAndre Hopkins for a trade that many people had doubts in their mind about Bill O'Brien afterwards. And you know what? I mean, as much as I think receivers aren't as important as people may seem, I mean, getting a top three receiver has to be an upgrade. And I think DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald, I think that's a solid receiver group. And I think although Fitzgerald is very old, he's still reliable. And I think he finally gets back in his slot position where he actually did really well in 2017, amassing 1,000 yards at that age. So I think he can still be productive there. And I think Christian Kirk has the potential to hit over 800 yards as an outside threat. So obviously that's something that we all love. Obviously they picked up Josh Jones in the third round of the draft, and obviously Isaiah Simmons. I think I said the word obviously a lot, but I mean, it's clear cut that the Cardinals have had a great offseason. So with that being said, I think my record, right, when I looked at the Cardinals, was it had a mix of both. I think they were going to pull off some upsets. Like, for example, I have them beating Buffalo at home. That's an upset that I see. I have them beating Dallas. That's another one. Even on the road against Seattle, I think that's another one that they could pull off. They did it last year. I think they can do it again. So, but, you know, there's also that young factor, right? They're still a young team. So, like, you know, deciding game week 17, I actually have them losing to the Rams. And my final record is 8-8. And that's not bad for a team that, you know, went 5-10-1 last year. Obviously coming off a really, I would say, flashy year from Kyler Murray. And I think now that he has Cliff Kingsbury for a second year, I think he's only going to get better. I think he's going to improve his win totals. But again, it's just a weird season, no OTAs and stuff. It's harder for him to get that chemistry with guys like DeAndre Hopkins. It's harder for Isaiah Simmons to get more acquainted with the playbook because he's going to have to play that quarterback role for this defense. And there's a lot of stars on that defensive line. Obviously, Chandler Jones, they added Kennard. We got to talk about Buda Baker, who made the top 100 list for a reason. So there's a lot of things to like about this Cardinals team, but the one factor that I have going against them is their youngness. And there's a lot of people who say, you know what? The Chiefs and the Ravens, right? Two second-year quarterbacks who just lit it up and went crazy. Can Kyler Murray be that guy? Absolutely. But I just don't see that same thing in him than I do with Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. So as a result, I got him going 8-8, which is not bad at all in a loaded NFC. So guys, let me know your thoughts.
I'll go ahead now.
Yeah.
I think if we flash back to when Arizona decided to hire Cliff Kingsbury as their head coach, I mean, I think it was pretty unexpected, at least for me. Obviously, he's one of the the more respected offensive minds in the league. But, you know, after that losing season at Texas Tech, I don't think it was expected that he would then become an NFL head coach and take that jump.
I mean, he signed to be the offensive coordinator at USC, and they stole him away. And I was I was mad, but I did not expect it whatsoever.
And then, of course, he pairs with Steve Keim, and they pulled off another surprising move by taking Kyler Murray at number one and trading away Josh Rosen, who was picked 10th by Arizona the season before. Murray obviously proved to be a good pick. He threw for 3,722 yards with 20 touchdowns. Murray also ran for 544 yards with another four on the ground. Even with his performance, Arizona was just 5-10-1 on the year, but they did improve on both sides of the ball this offseason. So I think they are a team worth keeping an eye on. Obviously, biggest move was trading for DeAndre Hopkins. No question there. I mean, not only do you land a star receiver in that move, but you also unload that oversized contract from David Johnson. So that's a win-win right there. I think the only question marks are really the defense and the offensive line. And you might question me on the defense, but Arizona, they had a chance to draft one of the big tackles in this class, which would have helped, but instead elected to take Isaiah Simmons. No problem with that pick. I think they were definitely still fortunate to still land Josh Jones in the third round. He will be a potential starter down the road. Overall, there were just a lot of improvements for the Cardinals. I think they look now like a team that can compete with just about anyone. So I have them going 9-7. I know Anish had them at 8-8. I'll go one win higher. I think this team definitely lives up to the hype. In a crowded NFC West, do they make the playoffs? I say yes. I think I have them as a 7 seed. It's obviously going to be tough. I mean, it's the best division in football, but hey, I believe in this Cardinals team, and I think they can do some magical things this year.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals were easily the most intriguing team this offseason and kind of going into this season with Kyler Murray, you know, coming into his second year, as well as Cliff Kingsbury and all the offseason additions they had. And Shrigar, you kind of touched on the Isaiah Simmons pick. I mean, it's no secret. I thought that Isaiah Simmons could be the best player in last year's draft, and he was definitely my favorite. But I'm not sure Arizona was in the position to draft best player available there. I mean, they already had a strength at inside linebacker. And unless they had this insane plan in place for Isaiah Simmons, I feel like as good as he is and as good as I think he will be, they might have been better off taking a tackle. And that didn't they did not completely shore up the offensive line that is the biggest issue on that team. And not to mention, I think that they've got problems on the interior D-line. They might have problems at corner unless Patrick Peterson can completely revive himself after that kind of letdown season last year, especially with the suspension. So while I think this team definitely got better, I mean, it for sure got better. And with Murray getting a second year under his belt as well as Kingsbury, it will get better. I just, in a loaded NFC and a loaded division, I don't see them make the playoffs. And you went one win higher than Anish Rekar. I'm going to go one win lower. I'm going to say 7-9. I think that just with the teams in their division and the teams they play, I think 7-9, they'll take it. I think it's realistic. I think a lot of people may be a little bit overreacting to them this offseason.
Well, quick Fair. Reaction before we go to the next team. It's just one, to touch on Kingsbury. I think he saw – I mean, he's done well with quarterbacks. I mean, obviously, he had to choose between Mayfield and Mahomes. Right? I mean, he worked with Mahomes, and he literally said Mahomes would be the guy with the richest contract ever. And I mean, the guy was right. So I think Kingsbury's a quarterback guru, and I think Kyler Murray's a great project for him. I think it's only going to get better in that regard. And I think while you're right about the offensive line and the defensive line, I think Kyler Murray has enough to make it work. And especially shoring up the left tackle, because Josh Jones does play a true left tackle.
Well, okay, but I mean, a third-round tackle, it's –
He was a first-round talent, though. We both had him in the first
round. We were surprised.
We believe he is a first-round talent. But also, I mean, if that many teams, that many NFL teams passing on him, maybe it's something we didn't see.
That's true, but I think it's not going to be a huge upgrade, but it's definitely better than what he had last year. And I think what he was able to do with that team last year, I think he's only going to be able to do better things. That being said, I mean, some people even have this dude winning MVP. I'm not going to go that far, but I mean, I'm definitely going to say he has a really good year. I think he'll shock some people in some ways, but also, again, we all have to take into factor the youngness of the entire team, just the inexperience. Yeah. And I see a lot of parallels to the Browns team a year ago, just weakness on the lines and, again, just your inexperience. So I think Shrikar's gotten a little bit more faith than I do. Jack's got a little bit less faith than I do, and that's how our predictions just rolled out.
We're all in the ballpark. I mean, it's not like we're
exactly
one of us is saying they're over 10 wins, one of us saying they're under 6. But are there any games on the schedule that stand out to you as maybe some big shockers for their season?
I think I mentioned it earlier, but I think, for example, they upset Buffalo at home. That's one. But however, right, I think they also upset Seattle on the road. Those are two potential upsets I see. But they also, again, inexperienced or just being a little bit too, you know, careless with the ball at times with Kyler Murray. I mean, potentially a loss to the Jets, even though they're not a good team. But I think that's another – sorry, Jack. But I think that's a team that I could see them losing to. And even New England, I know how much of the opt-outs they have. But at New England, a more poised, disciplined team, no matter the situation. And again, a tough secondary that DeAndre Hopkins is going up against. So I think New England wins that game. So there are just some games that I see, you know, the Cardinals shock some people, but there are also games where they shock them in the wrong way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have them losing to New England as well, because New England feasts on young quarterbacks. They've proven it year in, year out. And I think that, you know, they lose games like that. I think they'll lose to maybe the New York Giants. I think that could be an interesting answer because, you know, with the team that can run the ball like the New York Giants and the Cardinals lack on the interior D-line, I think that could be a tough game for them. And then I've got them.
Funny, I have that too. I just forgot to mention it. I actually have that too.
I've got them beating the Eagles. I've got them beating the Bills, which is, I mean, the Bills are my, I'm not going to tell you yet. I won't spoil it, but I've got the Bills doing pretty well. And so I think this Cardinals team has extreme potential, and this is maybe just a tune-up year, kind of get their feet wet year until next year, maybe when they have a
bigger lineup. Even if they go 8-8, 7-9, 9-7, it's got to be taken as a step forward, and I think it's a
it's
going to be good for them in the end. I think, yeah, as you said, this team has a lot of potential. I can't wait to see what they do in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think we can move on now to the LA Rams, which is a team that we've talked about a lot recently. We just did an episode on them. We'll put it up there in the corner so you guys can go check it out if you want after this video. But what do you guys think is going to be the outlook on the Rams this season?
Also. Oh, you want to go,
Shrigar? Sure. All right.
Yeah.
So at quarterback, Jared Goff is coming off a down year, and there's no alternative path to follow. The team is in his hands. Cam Akers is now the man at running back, which who knows how that will turn out. Wide receiver is still an area of strength, but it is a worse unit than last year with Cooks gone and Van Jefferson's in. Instead of showing out on offense, Los Angeles is actually superior on defense right now, at least on paper. And That doesn't necessarily speak to their elite defense, just the clear decline of the offensive unit. Aaron Donald remains the best player on the team, though the entire defensive front is pretty good. The pass rush will have to replace both Fowler and Clay Matthews. Secondary could be good. Obviously, you got Jalen Ramsey back there, but a lot of the big names are gone from this group. Who knows? Maybe that will be beneficial. It's like for a few years, the Rams always felt like the premier program in the NFC when it came to offense, I think just in general, and that's just completely gone for me. I mean, all the hype around their offense is completely gone. Their path to the playoffs is murky now, let alone a contending for a championship, which I don't think is going to happen. We've seen often how quickly great teams can fall and how fast these unknown teams can rise. But I mean, we're still kind of shocked when it happens. I don't know if I want to go that far yet. I was going to say this was a dynasty in the making.
Mm-mm.
But I think
you got to win at least one championship, I think, to
That's why I backtracked. But
they had the possibility. I mean, there was a possibility, though. They had the pieces in place.
But they were contenders. Yeah. Now I just don't see them as contenders anymore. So I had them at 6-10 and missing the playoffs. You're in the cellar of the NFC West, which isn't – I mean, the cellar of the NFC West is still – pretty good considering it's the NFC West, but I mean, still, it's just disappointing. And when you look at the future and you have to look at their cap situation, it's just a nightmare. I think if I had to make a prediction right now, I think Ramsey's gone. I know that the Rams are going to be trying to re-sign him considering what they gave up for him, but you know, this team is obviously, or not obviously, but I'd say they're on the decline. And you can go check out the Rams episode if you want.
They go 6-10 in your thing, and they don't even get a first round pick.
Yeah,
first round pick's gone. Now Jacksonville's got. What do you got? Mm-hmm. Like,
they screwed themselves.
I got two on them. Yeah,
that's why I wasn't a huge fan of the Ramsey move at all. I know a lot of people were kind of riding that hype train, but I just never really liked the Ramsey move. He's a great player. Like, don't get me wrong, but what you're giving up for him, it's way too much. And I kind of see parallels with that and the Seahawks trading for Jamal Adams, which we'll get into in a bit with the Seahawks. But it's just, when I look at the Rams, obviously I don't see them making the playoffs, but 6-10, it's just, this team is on the decline, and it's crazy to see how far they've fallen.
Anish,
Jack, you want to take it over?
Oh yeah, sure. I'll take it over. I've got the same record prediction as Shrieker. I think that the Rams, they're the first example I think that we've seen in a while of a team that buys in too much to success. I think that they saw that they were just a little bit away from a Super Bowl the year before. They started to lose some games and they got desperate. They got very desperate. And then you see the big thing that they did is the Ramsey trade, getting rid of their entire future over the next couple of years to get Jalen Ramsey, who's a great player. I mean, I agree with Jerry, he's a great player, but I think that they should have just wrote it out and seen what would have happened instead of giving up, you know, two first round picks for Jalen Ramsey. I think that just they had 2 years of success and they bought in trying to get to that dynasty that you were talking about and put themselves in cap hell with Goff's contract, Gurley's contract, and then the Ramsey trade. Really, they really screwed themselves over on those ones. So they're on the decline, and it's not like they can get anything in the draft, really early in the draft, because their draft capital is gone. So I am going 6-10 as well. And I think that I mean, I don't know if they can really salvage this at all because of the cap space, that the cap situation that they're in, and they might do even worse the year after.
Well, I think you guys are made some great points. Shrigar, I think the defensive point that you made, I would argue their offense is better because they on defense, they lost guys. Eric Weddle, Marcus Peters, who immediately became a top eight corner when he went to the Ravens. We obviously discussed that in our previous episode with discussing the Rams. Dante Fowler is gone. Corey Littleton, a guy that we forgot to mention, he's a stud. So that's another guy that terrible loss for them. So, and while their offense is still kind of stagnant, I mean, they didn't do much last year. Goff had a terrible year under a terrible – I mean, their line played okay, but they also played terrible in key situations. And like I've said, I mean, I don't trust Aaron Donald in big games. And that's funny because I'm talking about a defensive tackle like that. But if you're going to put him in the tier of top three player in the NFL, okay, that's how I'm going to grade you. I'm going to look at your playoff performance and I'm going to hold that against you, even if you're a defensive tackle. And I know people get mad at me for that, but you keep him that high, I'm going to hold him to higher standards. It's just how it works. So I needed you to do better in Super Bowl 53. I needed Jared Goff to do better in Super Bowl 53. I needed Brandon Cooks to do better in Super Bowl 53. There were so many key errors that happened in that game. And I know it was a 3-13 game. The casual fan would say, okay, this was the worst game ever. But you know what? I really enjoyed the game I wouldn't say analyst, but like as a true NFL fan, I really enjoyed how the defense played. And I think there were key situations where this game could have been a lot more interesting than it really was. But, you know, Aaron Donald being able to get at Tom Brady during that game-winning drive, Brandon Cooks dropping the pass against Stephon Gilmore. I mean, there were just so – or I think it was McCourty, but there were just so many plays in that game. And I know I'm referencing that going into this year. And I just think Jackie made a great point about how they got desperate. I mean, you give up two first-round picks for a corner that isn't even guaranteed after 2021, I believe. That's just plain desperate. After the Niners had a great start, right? What are you doing? I mean, usually when I say a trade in sports goes through, I always say the team that gets the best player usually wins, but not when it's two first round picks. I mean, this is something that we usually don't see. So, I mean, I think it's starting to become a norm in the NFL. Stars want to, you know, go to these big name teams, and we're just seeing it in all types of sports in America. And I think that's causing teams to give up more to get them. And I don't like that. I don't like the way it's going, but it does add some spiciness to the NFL, a little bit of some NBA type action. So back to the Rams, I think they'll win again. They'll win some games that, you know, you'd be surprised at. Like I have them beating Seattle at home, have them beating Arizona in the final week of the year. But again, they're just too, how would I say this? I don't trust them. That's literally my
inconsistent.
Exactly. Inconsistent would probably be the perfect word. So for example, I have them
gotten worse.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I have them losing four straight. I'll just bring it here. Week 11, I think Arizona beats them. I think the Niners beat them week 12. I think Tampa Bay beats them week 11. Niners beat them week 12. Arizona beats them week 13. And New England beats them week 14. So I have them going a spot ahead of you guys. I have them going 7-9. But again, I think they are on the steep decline. And I think you've got to really think about if Jared Goff is your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, we've seen how Goff struggled with declining Gurley and a Gurley that could not play at a top tier running back level. And now he's got to go in and he's playing with one less receiver. He's lost Brandon Cooks. And now he's got, you know, Cam Akers leading a running back room as a rookie. Mm-hmm. So things got harder for Jared.
So much uncertainty.
Yeah. I mean, and things got worse. And we've seen what he plays like when the situation isn't perfect around him and it's getting worse. So I'm really interested to see how he responds to this, if he's able to bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the next team we'll be going to is the San Francisco 49ers, Shrigar's favorite team. And I like how earlier you said you were disappointed that the Rams are on the decline. In no way is that true at all. I mean, I'm sure you're really glad to see that.
It's like I'm disappointed for them. You know what I mean? Like I'm always going to like – I'm not gonna like belittle them or anything. I mean, obviously I'm happy, but
It's like there's always that one team in the division that you really hate, and the other two, it's like, okay, yeah, I don't like them, but
As soon as they made that Ramsey trade, I kind of sensed that they were going to be declining. Just what it's just what they gave up. Like you're just bargaining your future for one guy, and I know he's good.
It was just
but
how they finished. They couldn't. I mean, if they had competed this year, then maybe I would have said, okay, maybe this is interesting, but they just couldn't do it. So yeah, Shrigar, why don't you start us off on the San Francisco 49ers?
Sure. Oh man. Okay. I'm going to be brutally honest, like during this whole thing. So if I see any Niners fans in my comments, I mean, okay. This is just my opinion. Okay. So obviously, I think, I don't know if Jack's going to agree because he's just a Niners hater at this point, but what San Francisco accomplished, what they accomplished last season was not a fluke. It was not a fluke. But the question still remains, can they repeat their run? And that all depends on the changes made to their roster and their schedule. So the Niners, they traded away DeForest Buckner and Matt Breida. You let Emmanuel Sanders, midseason trade addition last year, you let him walk in free agency. Joe Staley retires. But through trades in the draft, San Francisco attempted to fill some of the holes they were left with. During the draft, Niners used two first-round picks to select Javon Kinlaw and Brandon Ayuk, each taken to replace Buckner and Sanders, respectively. Both players not only offer immediate help, but, you know, the potential to make the team better down the line. That was more directed toward Kinlaw, not so much Ayuk. But meanwhile, they also traded for Trent Williams to fill the void left by Staley. I think the biggest difference from 2019 to the upcoming season for the Niners is the wide receiver core. Because not only are the Niners going to have to adjust to Samuel being the number one guy, but he suffered a foot injury in offseason workouts. You know, if he's not ready to go by week one, which is looking quite possible.
Yeah.
Kendrick Bourne's going to be the team's lead wideout because Hurd went down with an injury too. So it's a sticky situation. So I think it's just hard to predict that the offense has the same success as last season with all the uncertainty about the wide receiver group. However, Garoppolo is still a solid quarterback. The defense is going to remain elite. That's going to set the offense up in better position. And it's also important to note that George Kittle, he's still here, and he's still ready to be the top target on offense, regardless of the receiving core.
And the best tight end in the NFL. Sorry.
Yeah, Mr. Jack Smith. Best tight end in the NFL. Nah. I just think the NFC West competition is the most concerning threat to San Francisco. Obviously, Seattle challenged the Niners last year. Arizona's up and coming. We already went over LA. LA is just going to be LA. This could be the most competitive division in the NFL. And despite this and the team's losses, I think the Niners will compete atop the NFC in 2020. I have them going 12-4 and still getting the first seed. I think their defense will keep them in every game. I'm just so worried about the offense because they might, and the all caps, they might lack the consistency to get them through the playoffs and back to the Super Bowls. Might, of course, because I'm not going to go against Kyle Shanahan because that guy's just a wizard. But still, I mean, when you look at the depth chart, you got to be kind of nervous. I mean, even as a Niner fan, no matter how confident you are, I'm still a bit nervous about the offense, but I think I can still put my faith in them, if that makes sense. Their chances are just not as great as they were a year ago, but I still think they're a great team. I still think that core is intact for now and the future. So I think 12-4, first seed. I don't see Seattle winning the division. I think it will come down to week 17 again, though. I think it will come down to week 17, but when it's all said and done, the Niners will win that game and be the NFC West champions for the second year in a row.
Okay, so guys, I'm so nervous about my offense, but I still have them going 12-4, says Shrikar. But you know what? I said might.
That's a big step, using the word might. I mean, congratulations.
Yeah.
See, I've always been, you know, neutral toward the Niners. I mean, they're a great team. I think, obviously, Deebo Samuel is probably my favorite player in the NFL, and prayers for his foot. I think he'll be back before maybe mid-October. I can expect maybe week five return. But, you know, with the Niners, it's this. I still think people are underestimating the loss of Joe Staley. I know Trent Williams comes in, but again, he hasn't played football in 2 years, and if the best running back couldn't get back into football shape after 1 year, what makes me think that a borderline top five tackle could do that in 2 years? And obviously he had a head contusion or something, like I think head cancer or something like that. He had something going on with his head. And obviously he's 32. So there's some concerns there. And again, the leadership that Joe Staley provided, again, offensive line is built on chemistry. That's why you see teams like the Steelers, the Eagles, the Cowboys, even the Patriots, the O-line has been good because they're the same guys that have been consistently with each other. Chemistry is a huge, huge factor for offensive line. As someone who always says offensive line is a top three facet of offense, again, that's what I'm telling you about the Niners O-line. I think it's going to take a little bit of a hit. That being said, though, I think Jimmy G will, you know, continue where he went off last year. I think he had a really good regular season. His playoffs were a bit concerning, especially that one throw to Emmanuel Sanders. Look, if he makes that throw, he's in my top 10, and I think he's in my top 8. But he didn't make the throw. And man, you know what? For quarterbacks, look, Shrigar, and I've told this to many Niner fans too. It comes for quarterbacks, it can come down to throws. Two throws made Eli Manning a first ballot Hall of Famer. So it really, for quarterbacks, everything counts. And like, you know, Colin Cowherd said it best, I think, where he said, you know, quarterbacks are basically in the NFL scrutinized 1,000 times more than they were in college. It's like a bigger lens on them. And I think, you know, when it comes down to plays, even off the field issues, that's what it is. So for Jimmy G, I think he's easily going to, he's in my top 12. I think he's going to improve next year. But, you know, back to what the Niners, yes, I think they did get a little bit worse roster-wise compared to last year. Obviously, losing Sanders, Buckner. I don't think Kinlaw will replace Buckner yet. I don't think Ayuk will replace Sanders like that. But, you know, they have a favorable schedule. They play the NFC East. They play the AFC East. Those are arguably the two weakest divisions in the NFC and AFC, respectively. So that, I think that is very favorable to them. They have a very easy start. So I think the Niners are going to continue to dominate the NFC. I have them going 12-4. That being said, I think I have them losing some games, right? I think I have them losing at Seattle week 8, I believe. I have them losing, getting upset by Philly at home. But come down to week 17, when it's Seattle against San Francisco, I think they take it again. And I think that is where they secure the number one seed at 12-4.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys both have them winning week 17. And I know, or sorry, yeah. Week 17, you guys are going to harp on me for this. I've got Seattle winning that game. And so it comes down to that. I've got the Niners at 12-4. What do we all have them at 12-4?
Yep. Yes, I believe so. Yeah, I got them
12. Don't call me a Niner hater. I've got them going 12-4. I mean, I could have flipped around a couple games that I wanted to, had them lose to, I don't know, Dallas or something. But
or the Jets?
Huh? No, I do have them losing. No, I'm kidding. But, I mean, 12-4, I think the Niners fans will all take that, especially – I mean, can you think to last year, after having the second pick in the draft, did anyone think the Niners would make the Super Bowl and then be predicted to go 12-4, 13-3?
Unreal.
Nope. So, Adam going like 8-8 last year. That's what
I mean,
going like 7-9. I'm less optimistic than that.
That's pretty awesome. But I think they still lose games to New Orleans, Seattle in week 17. They've got a favorable schedule, but they do play some strong teams. They do have to play Seattle twice and New Orleans and Philly. Dallas can be good, especially at home. So
they could split with Arizona.
Yeah, it's possible. So while it is a favorable schedule for some games, the hard games they have are against very good teams. And Trigger, I think you said it best. That offense is I think it's not declining, but there are questions there, especially if Deebo Samuel is hurt for a good amount of the season. But I will say that I will trust Kyle Shanahan with anything. I think that he'll find a way to make it work.
Everything except a Super Bowl lead.
I was literally about to tell you that.
We're talking regular season right now.
Yeah.
But I think that on offense, he'll make it work with what he has, especially if he's able to plan. If he knows Deebo Samuel's going in, not going to play week one, he'll be able to plan for that. And I think that they'll still be able to make it work in the running game. He obviously has a bunch of tricks up his sleeves. I'm sure we haven't even seen yet, but I've got San Francisco going 12-4, not winning the division though. I'm sorry. I can't give them the division, especially since Seattle wins week 17. So I want to know, what do you guys think of this Seattle Seahawks?
All right. So to discuss the Seattle Seahawks, obviously Jack just kind of gave away his division prediction. There's a lot to like about them, right? Russell Wilson, I think, who, you know, people were shocked about zero MVP votes. I think I was shocked a little bit, but at the same time, I recognize that during his years of greatness, there have just been other stories that have just taken off. And I see a lot of parallels to Drew Brees. Same thing, consistent greatness, but there have just been quarterbacks with better stories at times. So, you know, I'm not surprised a little bit by it's a bit of both, but obviously he's a top two quarterback. I think everyone can agree on that. Those who have Lamar over him, you're delusional. So Russell Wilson is a very, very good quarterback. And I think that is why Seattle Seahawks have not had a losing season when he is under center. You know, you can say the questions about the O-line, but like he's made it work with damn near everybody. I mean, he lost Max Unger and everyone thought, okay, that was a weird trade, but he picks it right back up. I mean, J.R. Sweezy, that's the type of guys he's working with. What, George Fant? I mean, the dude couldn't block to save his life. So, I mean, Russell Wilson finds ways to make plays with his legs, with his arm. I mean, you guys saw that throw to Lockett, right?
And the Rams.
AWS literally named it like a 0.4% chance of getting completed. And it was crazy. I mean, only he can make that throw. So he's just – Russell Wilson, I know I'm kind of digressing here, but he's a great quarterback, and I think that's why I got Seattle, obviously, going back to the postseason. And again, you know, like the Niners have a favorable schedule, so do they, because they play mainly the same teams. They obviously play the AFC East as well, the NFC East. But, you know, there's a factor here that people don't actually recognize. So Seattle was second in the division, correct? And how the scheduling works is you play a team from the – so you play the full division in the NFC, right? So, for example, it's the NFC East for the NFC West. They will play everyone in the NFC East. But each team will play, right, the other two divisions, the team that finished at the same standing as them. So Seattle will play the second-best team from the NFC North, and they will play the second-best team from the NFC South. I think that is very, very, like – underrated fact about the scheduling system. It's because since they were so good last year but they finished second, they actually don't have to play the division winners that the Niners do. So like the Niners have to play the Saints, Seattle doesn't, right? That's like a big highlight there. The Niners have to play the Packers, Seattle doesn't. So I think that's another factor that people don't address. There's another one too. Seattle has the worst traveling schedule. I think that's also a bit concerning, but other than that, I really don't anticipate them being too big of a factor. Like while they play a bit of easier teams, while they also have a little bit of travel thing, I still think they get it done. I think they go 11-5 again. I think they win some games that, you know what, you go, wow, okay, they're really going crazy. But also I think they lose some games that they should have won. For example, I think they lose to Arizona at home. I think that's one potential upset I see. I see the Rams beating them at home off a bye. But I think it all comes down, before you guys go, I think it all comes down to this Week 17 game, right? And usually we haven't seen this Week 17 game being as anticipated as we did last year. But, I mean, this is where it comes down to. Like, this is what it'll go for. And I think the problem is with Seattle, it's just – I think the Niners have a formula that can really work against the Seattle team, especially with the D-line. And we saw what the wide receiver core did to their secondary last time they played. I mean, they were going crazy over the middle of the field, yards after the catch. So that's why I have the Niners doing it again. And I think it's great because the second game is at their home turf. I think if it was Week 17 in Seattle, I think it's a different story. But really, I think despite whatever happens, I think it's just a different vibe there in Levi's, and I think that's why I got the Niners taking the division. But Seattle 11-5, don't sleep on them.
I think Anish really hit it on the nail with the offense, but I kind of wanted to focus on the defense, more specifically the offseason trade for Jamal Adams. And before going any further, I should say this is common knowledge, but this unit isn't anywhere close to as commanding as the Legion of Boom. I'm talking about the secondary. I mean, just reflecting, that defense featured two future Hall of Fame defensive backs in Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas. And Cam Chancellor, that dude was basically a linebacker in a safety's body. I mean, he was absolutely insane.
Watch his highlight. It's insane, the hits that he was able to, like,
he's
do.
Scary.
I mean, he's just an incredible player. He could strike fear in anyone. I know. I remember watching the hit.
For sure. I think that's
I remember watching that hit against Vernon Davis, replaying it. Like, that dude is just vicious. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, nevertheless, I think Seattle's secondary, it should become a point of strength for a defense that's otherwise very on the fence for me. And last season, Adams had an incredible year. He's, in my opinion, the best safety in the NFL. I think Jack would disagree with that because of his saltiness over the Jets trading him and him wanting out. But he is the best safety in the NFL. He turns that Seahawks secondary. Previously, we thought it was pretty mediocre. And now, potentially a top 10 unit. I'd say they're top 15. I think just that safety duo of Adams and Diggs, that sits near the top of the NFL. You look at all the great safety duos, you know, Anthony Harris and Harrison Smith is the best safety duo by far, in my opinion. You got Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons, Matthew and Thornhill, Hyde and Poyer. as before mentioned, Adams and Diggs. And you got Marquise Blair providing depth, I'm pretty sure. The Seahawks don't have any concerns at safety. But I think where I'm most concerned is, one, the pass rush, two, cornerback. Because corner, it could still give Seattle some difficulty this offseason. I mean, Shaquille Griffin, he had a great year last year. He made the Pro Bowl
under a
career year. But look, offenses would always target Trey Flowers, and Trey Flowers was always exploited. I'd always see him throwing to that side. And of course, the Seahawks traded for Quentin Dunbar, who they hoped could push Flowers or potentially start alongside Griffin. But we all know what happened with Quentin Dunbar. If you don't know, then I guess just look it up. We won't go into it. But the Seahawks are going to have to start Flowers opposite of Griffin again. That's the point. I don't like Trey Flowers at all starting alongside Griffin. But I think the team just still believes in him, that he can still turn his career around. But he cannot play like he did last year if Seattle wants to be an elite secondary. They're still good, but it's so many questions. And then with the pass rush, you lose Clowney. It's just – and look, you don't – a good pass rush – is so beneficial to your secondary. So that's why I really wanted the Seahawks to bring in someone like Everson Griffin, who had ties to Pete Carroll, or you could just bring back Jadeveon Clowney. He's still there. I still think you can make a move, but it's just tough because you always, a good pass rush is so valuable now. I mean, just look at the Niners. We talked about them before. That pass rush helped the secondary so much. You don't have to cover as long. It's just as simple as that. So there are some questions.
So how big do you think this would have been an effect on their overall defense? Do you think it's going to be critical? Because Seattle defense was pretty good last year.
It's not critical, but it's questionable, I'd say. I think the defense as a whole is still pretty questionable. But I think bringing Adams into the fold, you got Bobby Wagner, who's the best middle linebacker in the league. Still not ready to give that to Warner as a Niner fan. I'll still say Wagner. I'll give it up.
Not close, dude.
I wouldn't even argue Warner, but I think it's just I have to see this defense play before going as far as calling them elite, going as far as calling them a contending defense. But overall, I think their offense, of course, I think they're just going to be back in action. I don't think Seattle's going 11-5 in my predictions. So you don't have that losing season. Has Russell Wilson, he's never had a losing season, never. Has he?
He won't ever have a losing season.
That's insane.
Okay, that's a bit too old.
Looking too far into the future, my friend. But still, I think 11-5, it's, as Anish said, it's going to come down to week 17. And as a Niner fan, you love seeing us being competitive with Seattle finally, because Seattle has just absolutely owned us the past decade. So it's really great to see as a Niner fan. But overall, I think the Seahawks are a solid team. I'm not going to underrate them, not going to overrate them.
Yeah, like you said, I think that Seattle does have problems in the secondary. They've got problems with pass rush. And I think that's why they brought in Adams, because when used correctly, like Greg Williams did last year in New York, Jamal Adams can play corner. He can play edge rusher. He can fix those problems if you use him correctly. And I really hope Seattle has a plan in place to be able to do that and to be versatile with him and to use him like he should be used. And if so, I think that you can fix some of those problems. And like you said, they won't be critical when you've got a guy like Adams to pick up the slack. But I mean, right after the trade was made, you see people on Instagram and Twitter saying that the Seattle defense is elite. They are not elite. They're not close to elite. They've got two elite players and a lot of other question marks. And especially in pass rush, which is the most important part of a defense. I mean, they've really got nobody.
Lackluster.
Nobody. The problem is Russell Wilson will get it done. I believe Pete Carroll right now, I'm going to say, is the best coach in this division. I still got him over Shanahan for now. We know what we're going to get from that offense, especially with healthy running backs, with Chris Carson getting another year, DK Metcalf getting another year. I think we know what we're going to get from this offense, and the defense I think they got better. And if they have a plan in place, like I believe they do for Adams, this team is scary good. The only problem I have is I'm not completely confident that that's the case. I don't know if they have a plan in place to use Adams correctly. But if they do, I think he can fix a lot of the parts of their defense.
But you still have them winning the division?
I do still have them winning the division. I believe that they will use him correctly, but if they don't, I probably wouldn't have him winning the division. But I think that, I mean, he's that kind of player. As a safety, he can still win you games. He can still put you in position. Okay. So
before the Adams trade, did you have Seattle winning the division?
No,
Jack, let me throw this at you because I think this might actually, I wouldn't say convince you enough, but I think this is something that people also should know. Look, Seattle last year, they went 11-5, right? 12 games were decided by 8 or fewer points. So they were 12
one possession. That's the style of football that they play.
10-2. I mean, that is almost unheard of, though. In the NFL, 10-2 in one possession games. I mean, you know, I still have them going 11-5, but 10-2 is damn near impossible to repeat. And I know they're going to be down in those situations again. I mean, you barely beat Cincinnati, who goes 2-14 by one. Right, there are just some of those games where it's like, okay, what's going on here? I mean, like, it really came down to the wire for some of them. Some of the wins, I mean, the losses they had, obviously Baltimore, I thought was very convincing. Green Bay, I mean, you let Devontae Adams go for 160-2. Oh my god! I mean, like, but you know, what do you think about that? I mean, 12 one possession games. I think there's going to be a lot of those, and I don't think Seattle goes 10-2 again.
I think that just shows you this type of football they play. That's their style. They like to ground and pound the ball early in games, and if needed, put the ball in Russell Wilson's hands to win them the game, and he does that. They're not a barn burner team. They haven't been, and I don't think they will be, but they have the pieces in place to wear you down throughout the game and go win a game on a last drive if they need to. Mm-hmm. It's just the style of football they play, and I think they'll continue to play that. Like I said, if they use Jamal Adams correctly, I think they win the division. If not, I think it goes to the Niners. Before the trade, I was on the fence leaning towards San Francisco. After the trade, I picked Seattle. And I think that a lot of people have the Niners, but I'm gonna stick with Seattle because yes. As much as I would love it if they went like 5-11 or something like that, give the Jets a better pick. But, you know, 13-3, not exactly what I wanted. But I will not be rooting for them, but I will be predicting them to win the division.
Sounds good.
So I guess kind of now to go through our entire standings, I've got Seattle at 13-3 winning the division as the – I won't say seeding yet. I've got San Francisco at 12-4 in second, Arizona at 7-9 in third, and I've got the Rams at 6-10 rounding out the NFC West.
I'll go next. I have the 49ers at 12-4 winning the division. I have Seattle going 11-5. All comes down to week 17. It's going to be exciting. I have the Arizona Cardinals going 9-7. Going to see a lot of improvements from them. And the Rams going 6-10. Who knows what's in store for their future.
So to round it out, I got the Niners at 12-4 winning the division. I got Seattle 11-5. I got the Cardinals 8-8 and the Rams 7-9. And to kind of wrap this episode up, guys, make sure to check out our socials on Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Please go check us out there. Check out our other videos down below in the description. And thanks again for watching, and we'll see you next time.
We love y'all.
See ya.